Hello, everyone. Welcome again to the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good and mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. It's a wonderful thing to know and love God, to know that the assurance and knowledge that He loves you, you know that He cares about you, you know that He loves you, and to know that He watches over you. He has provision for everything in our lives. I wish that mainstream preachers would teach it more, but God has a solution for every form of problems a man could possibly have. To clue you in on it, in case you may not know, you know, you may know of some of them, He gave us His wisdom. If we study the Proverbs, we'll see, we'll have an understanding of how to navigate our lives. One man had finished college and he started his career. And he had 9 jobs in a short amount of time. And he told one of his friends, and his friend suggested, why don't you study the Proverbs? And he took the Proverbs and he studied a chapter every day. And he applied it. And he ended up starting his own company and becoming very wealthy. Not just in money, but because he applied the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is something you can begin receiving. It's not hard, because God is showing you what to do. It will take a man a lifetime to learn just a fraction of the wisdom that God has given us in the Proverbs for Himself. But after you made mistakes and you reconsider it, you would wonder, how I wish I had known that a long time ago. With that in mind, the way that the world system works, the enemy gives you, he gives you suggestions that will lead to a problem, but it promises you something good. He baits you out there to make the wrong decisions, and it causes problems that you can't repair. And by the time you figure it out, it's usually too late. So, and it hardens your heart against the source who can supply you with the truth. Everything of the enemy, it hardens your heart against God. And so everybody can't receive from God because their hearts is hardened by the pride and lust and greed of this world. So, God is trying to help us come out of darkness. But He's given us countermeasures. He gave for salvation, believe on Jesus Christ. That's the beginning of your perfect victory. Believe on Jesus Christ. You get to live forever in Him. Learn His ways, though. Sometimes people get saved. Sometimes evangelists and pastors, they want to get people saved. They promise them. They show them things. But it takes growing in the Lord to really make your life go the way it should. You know, if you were not raised, whether you were or not, if you were not raised by wise and loving parents, find a good church home where people love you and go there. Go there to be a blessing and receive what God has to say. Take a portion of your everyday life and study the Word of God. I don't know your schedule. Take at least 15 to 20 minutes and just study the Word. If you took 30 minutes every morning and studied the Word, and just think about one scripture all day long, a friend of mine drives trucks. He starts his day getting scriptures, and he'll think about it all day. And he said that blessed him more than anything. God loves you, and He's right there. He's not like other gods. He's there to back you up. He's watching over your life. Other gods are dead. All religions that promise all these other things, they're dead. They don't interact. People of all other religions, they don't expect to be healed, blessed, guided through life. Demons, they have demonic activity, and demons don't heal, they don't help, they don't do anything. But the enemy that works in their life, He mimics what God does. He doesn't really heal people. witchcraft is real. Other religions are based on demonology, not God. They're not a lie. There's no life in them. But God is with you. One of Jesus' names is Emmanuel, which means God with you. He suffered for you. He legally healed you. He legally saved you. By his stripes we're healed. When you hear Christians say, by his stripes we're healed, see, the high priest didn't just crucify Christ. They had him beaten in a Roman court under Pontius Pilate. And he whipped him. The word say he didn't look like a man when they finished with him. Now, you can get Jewish courts, they only gave you 39 stripes. He was beat in a Roman court. He didn't even look like a person anymore. And he healed. He paid for every disease you could ever have. And he paid for your salvation. High cost. And he sent the Holy Spirit to guide you in life. Another countermeasure is the Holy Spirit that comes to guide you in life. You want to do something. I told my children, whatever you have in mind to do, run it by God. Don't just go make decisions, especially big decisions. Pray and ask the Lord. Most people will not do this. Even after receiving this kind of knowledge, they don't do it. This is nothing new. It's in the scriptures. It's been in the scriptures way before we were born. In St. John chapter 16, verse 13, it says, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. So, that's a blessing. But you have to trust God when he guides you. When he attempts to guide you in life, you got to trust him. You can supply your heart with the word. That's a countermeasure. You'll have the strength, the will to do his works, to do his ways, to do life, to do what he said do. Study what Jesus said. Remember, Jesus was the word of God before he became a man. So he's 100% God and he's 100% man. And all the miracles that he did it as a man. He qualified to be our Savior because there was no sin in him. And he's also 100% God. But he became a man, legally born in this world, through a woman. Sin is transferred through the male. See, when you study the history, you understand what God did. It's a beautiful plan that God had to redeem us back to God. Remember, Jesus is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. And God made the earth in the beginning. So in the beginning of his works, he had Jesus Christ in mind to redeem man back to God. Because he loves us, and also we judge the fall. And there'll never be sin again after this short amount of time we have to deal with. Now, one scripture says you're going to look for a sinful man and won't be able to find one. Now, all these things are certain, and this is your business. What God is doing is your business. You need to know what God is doing. Another countermeasure God gave us is authority. You have authority over Satan. And he showed us, he depicted Satan as a serpent. And how do you stop a serpent? You crush his head. If you cut him in half, he can grow another tail. That won't kill him. You have to crush his head. So when you want to pray over your children, you're asking the Lord to protect them, and he gave you angels that watch over your life. Every person born, hear me good, every person born has angels that watch over their life. Every family that love God and pray, there are angels that camp around that house. In fact, every person has angels that watch over their life. But when you start operating according to the world, your angels are there, but they're unemployed because you first have to operate according to God's wisdom. And sometimes they can protect us even before we're saved. And children, when parents pray for their children, the angels can protect them. That's why gang members can't kill anybody. God gave us another example. If you watch any kind of cattle, like gazelles or a herd of sheep, The wolf goes after the baby lambs that can't defend themselves, or the weakest one, the one that's straggling. That's what the predators eat. They don't want to go after the male because they're faster and stronger. They will if that's all they got. They go after the lambs, the little bitty ones, whether it's antelope, whether it's gazelle, whatever it is, they go after the weakest link. Satan's the same way. God gave us that example in nature. And spiritual predators do the same thing. First, they got to get, if they can get the parents in sin, the whole family is vulnerable to satanic attacks. If they get the children off track and the parents don't pray, then they can kill the children. And sometimes God will sovereignly protect us. And when people decide not to believe on Jesus Christ, they just don't know how vulnerable they make themselves. When they decide not to have a prayer life, when they decide not to study the Word of God, they can be deceived by things that will destroy them utterly. This is why I let people know the Word. Now, these broadcasts are on newlivingletters.com, newlivingletters.com, all small case, newlivingletters.com. This year's broadcasts are on the audio four pages. There are four audio pages. And everything is absolutely positively free. I want you to be blessed by God. I love the people more than their donations. And ministries require a lot of money, but God blessed me to be able to do this. And everything, all the broadcasts that he blessed me to do. See, he gave me what to preach. He gave me what to say. He gave me what to teach people. And I don't want it wasted. I want you to know God. You can hear these broadcasts. You can grow in the Lord. And you're going to have a life of blessings from God. You're going to get to know him. He's going to be with you. You can pray over your children. And then when you go to church, be a blessing. Ministries need you. They don't just need your money. They need you to operate, to learn and grow and help others do the same thing. This is very important. Everybody you know, you can make a difference in their life by your smile, by your kindness, by your love, by your prayers. Give God something to work with. One scripture says, present yourself. You, a living sacrifice, and God will work through you. That's another countermeasure for people that don't know God. You can stand in the gap. You can be a friend. One of my coworkers, she yielded to the Lord, and she was a blessing to another coworker on her other job. And the lady confided in her because she was kind to her. And the lady said, bye-bye. And then she said, well, where are you going? She said, I'm going to kill myself. She said, nobody loved me. But she confided in her because one day the Lord put it on her heart to give her $10, and she was low on money. She knew she had a friend. She knew, and when she was about to kill herself, she confided in somebody that would pray with her and talk her out of it. Don't underestimate what God can do in you. Follow his influence. Follow him. And see, I'm sorry that mainstream ministries have made a money thing out of it. Now, ministry costs a lot to be on TV. I'm not knocking that, but some people have pushed it too far. This is about love, folks. Everybody's not rich. And when you get to know the Lord, if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, everything you need and want can be added to your life. But first, you got to seek him. What good is money if you're not here to spend it? What good is a house if you can't live in it? What good is a mattress if you can't sleep on it? And what good is a car if you can't ride in it? Some people have cars and houses and land, and they're in the hospital in intensive care. And it looked like they won't go back to their possessions. And when a man go to hell, God forbid, he owns nothing. He'll never drink water again. He will be tormented forever. And I know this. So I take ministry very serious. It's too important to let people slip away. And I could have done something. And God loves us. When people get saved, they still have residuals that they have to work through. The word said, work out your own salvation. Now, understand this. Jesus paid the cost for you to be saved, to go to heaven and be included in the kingdom of God. Remember something. God loves you like you more than you love your own children. He loves you personally more than you love your own children. And he wants to help you and bless you. He wants a relationship with you. He's not angry. He's not like worldly kings, presidents, and dictators. He loves you and he cares about you. He's not after your money and finances and foolishness. He loves you for you. He doesn't love you for what you can do for him. But see, when you yield your life and present yourself a living sacrifice, he can work through you because he's holy. You got to be holy too. You got to be pure in your heart. That's what being holy is. Be pure in your heart. Don't be evil. Don't be bad. Don't be wicked. Be a person that God can trust. Be a blessing. Seek to be a blessing to other people. When this happens, when this is in place, that's what we mean by being holy. It doesn't mean being better than others. It doesn't mean being, Pentecostals, holiness people, sometimes Christians, they'll say, well, I'm holy. I do this. And they brag about all the good things that they do. Remember something, that whatever you do right, it's a great, you did it by the grace of God. When God first met us, we were pitiful. We didn't have a snowball's chance. We were not good. We ran from Jesus and we didn't understand. But when you come to life, you begin to understand what life is. So you know what it's like if you've been a sinner, especially if you were bad. If you didn't get saved as a child, you were bad. If you got saved as a child, anybody that gets saved, whether a child or an adult, you have resilience against sin. And there are people who get saved as children, and they don't know what it's like to be defeated by sin. And sometimes they continue to do the right thing, and their concepts are different. And they may wonder about sin. They may flirt with sin, but they've never been overcome by it. And they kind of stay out of trouble. The enemy usually tempt them to experiment. And then they get bit by sin and they don't do it again. Or their heart get harder and they feel like they were deprived. They didn't get to do what the other children did. And they didn't go to parties and they didn't get drunk. And they start trying that stuff and get bit by the world. And then when they come back, they understand. But you don't have to go through all that. Look around. Open your eyes. I've never been on drugs before. I've never been drunk before. And I don't want to be. I got saved as an adult. I did other things that were not right. But I know it took me so long to stop using profanity. It took me a long time to get my mind right. And even after I got saved, I had to work through some things. I asked the Lord to help me not be tempted and not be angry, not be frustrated, not lose my temperance. Because if somebody said the wrong thing, I might say words. And I'm being candid because I had to work through that. I kept praying. I said, Lord, help me not do that. Help me. I didn't have the skill, but I had the ability because we have a brand new heart. We don't get a brand new mind. You have to renew that mind. And you don't get a brand new body. You have to overcome your cravings. The body craves things that it shouldn't. You can have a taste for too much sugar, too much pork, too much meat, too much alcohol. You can have an appetite for lust. But all those things can, when you study the Word of God, I'm here to tell you, and I'm being very honest with you, your cravings can be destroyed or altered. and you can begin to crave the good things in life. You can have a desire for God. The disciples one day went to get food, and they came back to give Jesus something to eat. And he said, "My desire, my meat, is to do the will of God." Your appetite can be saved. Your desires can be just like your heart. And to my surprise, sometimes I would be surprised, literally surprised, when I could walk away from things that had me trapped in the past. And I could walk away from things that would be on my mind for a very long time. Why? Because God was with me, and He helped me. He always helped me do what's right. He strengthened me. He gave me life. When you receive salvation, my friend, you receive life. And when you decide to live and not die, your life is very strong, and you can go forward in life. I made some decisions that I would do right and go forward and participate in the things of God. I seek to be a blessing to people. I seek to know Him. And I decided a long time ago I'd never charge to minister God's word. Now, that's just that's just a decision that I had made. And I never have. If they've given me love offerings, which is all right, but I didn't ask for it. And now I don't ever plan to. I want people saved, healed, and set free. You got enough trouble. And if you can receive the word, it can mean the difference. There are people right now that have gone to hell. And they went, they didn't listen. Every time people taught them the word, they got to a point where they got angry and they wouldn't listen to the Lord. They made excuses. And they loved the pleasures of this world. And they did all kind of miserable things in the name of having fun. And now they are there. Some people never heard the truth correctly. And their heart got hard, and they never got saved. And they trusted the wrong thing, and they never got saved. Some of them killed Christians and didn't get saved. Some people killed each other, robbing banks, and they died. You know, their heart was hard. They thought they didn't believe in God. They decided to be atheist or agnostic. Or they trusted the wrong religion and thought they could work their way into heaven. Whatever the case, they are there. And God loved them. Even though they were wicked, He still loved them. But they forfeited their chance to go to heaven. And they could have went to heaven. They could have been washed in the blood of Jesus. There are religions that kill Christians, Hindus, Muslims. And even lukewarm Christians, people that love, there are Christians that love the world. They don't like what's right. They avoid people that love God. But I'm saying that because when people go to hell, they can't come back and get a do-over. And there are people, God is so merciful. There are people that God worked with. He let them see it. Something, you know, God think of everything. Don't think that God just lets you see hell, then you come, then give you a chance to come back and get it right. But there are people who died in the operating room, and the doctors kept working with them, and they were going to hell, and they got a glimpse of it, and the doctors kept working with them, and they came back. And just like there are people that die and go to heaven and come back. Now, there are people on YouTube that had experiences. You need to listen. before you give up on God, go research. Go do some research. And, you know, what do you have to lose? You know, God gave a man the idea to have the internet. It's a lot of filthy things on the internet, but this is a filthy world. It's not new. Television, video, even it was even prophesied that things would, that every eye would see when the two witnesses are raised from the dead. And preachers used to laugh at that in seminary school until one day somebody invented a television. God showed me a vision of the past. He showed me the civil rights movement and how it was a pictorial. He took me to a church service in the past. I saw it just like a video. If he can do that, that's just like television. He showed me what really happened at a church. And I let a guy use my welding machine because he was welding a bell that had cracked. And I went to get it. And then he took me around the church, and I stood in the spot that I was standing in my dream. And then he showed me the same church in modern times. I wrote about it in the book, The Cost of Freedom. And the churches, it used to be called, at the time that I had the dream, it was Community Methodist Church on 2nd Avenue, on Tuscaloosa Avenue. It was Tuscaloosa Avenue. And that happened to be the church, he said, that Bull Connor went to when he was the police chief of Birmingham, who, you know, turned fire hydrants and dogs on the black people. There are things but God showed me some things in the past. I saw a day in the past. God, there's nothing new under the sun. Solomon told us that in Ezekiel. So do some research. God he gave man the idea to make the internet so people could share their testimonies. But you got to have enough sense to use it. And if you do, you can believe on Jesus Christ. The word said, taste and see that the Lord is good. And if you taste and see, you're going to find out for yourself he's good. And then God's got preachers that'll help you grow. And you can use what God gave me on these websites, on this website, to be a blessing. And the Lord gave me two books. One is The Spirit of Egypt, and the other one is The Cost of Freedom. The Cost of Freedom is on livingletterministries.com. And then there are other websites out there that's designed to be a blessing to you. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Why? Because he loves you. He will help you work out your salvation because the darkness has covered the world. And the enemy tries to stop every preacher and every person that would be a blessing to you from being a blessing to you. But if they did be a blessing to you, receive what God is doing. Live with your eyes open. Use the countermeasures that God provided. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord.